Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, first of all, we want to say a big congratulations to Portia Williams and Dennis McKinley because Portia gave birth to a beautiful baby girl over the weekend.
Yes, her name is Pilar.
I love that.
So cute.
It's so cute. And I love that we got like all sorts of teasers over the weekend because I follow her sister on Instagram. And like we were seeing it unfold in real time. And like there were these cookies that someone had sent Lauren and she was like arranging them so that you could see all the P names that were on it. So it was like, what's the name going to be? And then she posted a story that was just one cookie and it was the name Pilar.
Aww.
Takes a lot of investigative work to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
Other than that, we are also going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules today. We're going to be talking Real Housewives of New York City. And we're also going to talk about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. We'll have, obviously, Rose and Thorne.
And then interviews with Luann de Lesseps and Sheena Shea. Also, Eric, I meant to tell you, I got a message to send to you via Instagram. Gina Fontana. She had said, love you too. I need you both all week. And I was like, that's so nice. And she said, you're so welcome. And the truth. Please tell Eric that he is absolutely right about Mexican dynasties. My new favorite right now.
Oh, I'm so glad. It's so good. Yeah, I'm so glad people are watching it because I have a friend who's actually been working on the show too. She's one of the field producers there. And her name is Caitlin. She's amazing. It's been one of her serious passion projects over the last couple of years. She worked on a season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills also a couple of years back. And I'm just so glad to know that it's being well received by everyone. I mean, we're enjoying it here. The cast is amazing. They're having so much fun with it. So thank you, Gina. That was very sweet.
So should we talk about Vanderpump Rules?
Yes.
So it was finally the unveiling of Tom Tom to the public. We talked to Tom Schwartz earlier today. You guys will hear that interview later in a different episode. But you were very taken with the outfits, I know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And the presentation of it all.
Yes.
But I honestly couldn't help but feel really bad for Katie the whole time.
Tom, wait.
You're going to be like, Schwartz, wake up, dude.
Tom, yeah. Bubba.
Oh, thank you, Dodie.
Interesting. Okay, so I honestly, I did feel bad for Katie, too, because I think, and I believe she says it at one point, too, like, she just wanted to sort of celebrate in the moment with him as much as it was him, you know, Tom and Tom's moment. She wanted to kind of be a part of it. But I kept also thinking, like, Ariana's not acting this way. Like, Ariana's just, like, posted up, like, having some cocktails, like, letting it all kind of play out. And I think, you know, obviously their relationships are different, so, you know, people are going to react different ways, but you know, I don't know. I feel like Katie could have just been like, let's just let Tom have this moment. It's been a long time coming.
Well, I will say in her defense, though, she didn't address it at all at the opening. That would have been such a bad move. Instead, she's just sort of internalizing all of it. But I couldn't help but notice that she and Stassi are sort of having the exact same issue in their relationships, which is they're both with these social butterflies of men. And I think the cost of that is that you don't always feel great. You don't always feel like seen or appreciated.
Or like a priority. I mean, it makes sense. I get that. And it's also, I did feel bad for her in the moment when they all had sat down and then Tom was like talking to everyone and she was like trying to show him something on her phone and he like looked at it for like a second and then sort of looked away. And you could just see it on her face that she just really wanted a moment of Tom to just like register her. Like he should have just gone over, been like, hey baby, I love you, like
couldn't
thank you for being here.
You.
Exactly, like give her one moment of recognition. Yeah. In the whole night and then kind of carry on and do your own thing. I think she definitely deserved at least that.
I remember, like, it just makes me think there was this quote from Jennifer Garner, I think in Vanity Fair, and it was like post Ben divorce, and she said, when his attention is on you, it's like the sun shining on your face and it feels so good and warm. But then when the sun goes away, it's very lonely and cold. Like, ooh. That's what I think of,
it's
though.
It's like the desert. No, I mean, I get that. And I feel like, you know, when you have this layer of also fame and attention, and with something like this, there are so many eyes on Tom and Tom that, you know, for this to go well, they're business partners with Lisa Vanderpump. So it makes sense that, you know, he's sort of all wrapped up and in this situation. But I get it. I feel bad. I think she deserved a little bit more of that. Like, thank you for supporting me through this entire experience.
Right. Okay. So let me ask you. Because we go to Mexico, and it all sort of goes downhill when Tom Schwartz accepts a first-class seat yes. on his own. I mean, so does Sheena, but they're sitting separately.
Right.
How are you guys up here?
We got upgraded.
Oh.
They just gave us a new ticket and said, here you go.
How would you feel if Danny had made that decision?
It's so funny. It's one of those things where you never really know how you react until you're in the moment. But I definitely would be, like, happy for Danny. Like, great, he got a first-class seat. But I would definitely have a sense of resentment that, like, I didn't get it, too.
Right, and that you just chose to spend this flight without me. I mean, because, yes, logically, you're gonna watch separate movies. You're going to be doing your own thing. You're going to be sleeping. You don't need to be near each other. But at the same time, I like to sleep on Aaron
right.
during flights.
Well, and Katie talks about that they do kind of have a tradition a yeah. little bit when they fly together. And yes, Tom, to his point, it's only a 2.5-hour flight. It's not that big of a deal. But, like, you know, they want to be able to sit and, like, have a little kiki and just, like, drink and, like, do whatever. Like, I just don't know. You know, I also feel like with Schwartz accepting the first class seat, why didn't he ask if he could also upgrade Katie? Unless he did and, like, they denied and said no. But, like, how did he get upgraded and then Sheena got upgraded?
Because they were just randomly selected.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He should have been like, Sheena, I'll give you $100 if you let Katie take your seat.
Okay, let me ask you. Do you think Sheena would have taken the $100?
No, she would have been like, I'm taking first class. I don't care what you say at all. I wanted to ask you, actually, before we even got to Mexico, we saw everybody kind of preparing and getting ready. Were you more or less attracted to Beau in the T-Rex costume?
Good question. I think the same.
The same?
Yeah.
I think more.
I mean, do I want to have sex with him while he's wearing the costume? Not necessarily.
But
I would.
You wouldn't be opposed to it. I just love that we keep getting these tiny moments of Beau, like, hanging out at the apartment, just, like, being his authentic, true self, like, rocking this T-Rex thing, like, steaming her dresses, like, wearing overalls. Like, we keep getting all of these really amazing moments with Beau that just, like, he's such a sweetheart. He is the sweetheart of this season. Yeah. Next to Tom Schwartz, always, of course.
And a bit of a silly Billy.
A bit of a silly Billy. You know, it's interesting right now, too, because Brittany is going through this whole, like, issue, you know, gastrointestinal issue. So she's not really supposed to be drinking alcohol or eating spicy food.
Right.
What is she going to do in Mexico?
I mean, why even go?
Right. And even at the Tom Tom opening, she was sort of, like, not really adhering to the directions her doctor gave her because he was like, please don't drink alcohol. So I think she thought if she drank less alcohol over the course of a longer time, it would have less of an impact on her stomach.
What do you want, honey?
It's a chilled tequila shot, silver.
Chilled tequila shot? Honey, your stomach.
That's why I'm doing it, because I can't have all these delicious mixed drinks.
But also, she's drinking less but more concentrated alcohol.
Right. It's just like straight tequila. Right. She's like, well, there's no sour mix. It's fine. It's like, no, that's still a lot of liquor that's going straight into you. But whatever. So they get to Mexico, and then it looks beautiful. The resort looks amazing. It's high up. It's over this gorgeous jungle. Like, everything looks like it's supposed to, like, start off really great. But then Tom and Katie get into it.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, Aaron and I got married really young. So I feel like the maturity level probably wasn't what it should be when you choose to, you know, dedicate your whole life to someone. But the way they fight reminds me of how we used to fight, where it's just like you're just saying the meanest things you can think of to hurt somebody.
And it's almost like the attacks they were making on each other, like, weren't even really relevant to the situation.
They never are,
right.
ever.
It's just like horrible things that you know are going to hurt the other person's exactly. feelings. And then I think they're not even at that point listening to each other. They're just too busy, like, throwing insults to even be receiving, or, you know, it just yeah. like, it just seemed like this whirlwind sort of, like, what are you even, what's the point of this fight?
Right.
Oh, I mean, Tom says that he can't stand the sound of Katie's voice. It's just like, you can't say that. That's horrible.
Just shut up.
Then why didn't you
communicate? Stop talking and listen, Tom. All I need you to do is just listen to me sometimes.
The problem is I don't like the sound of your voice. It's like a cacophony.
I can only hope that in real time, maybe things have gotten better.
I think so. I mean, when we spoke to Tom Schwartz earlier today, he seemed like there's some promising things coming on this Mexico trip that will kind of make everything feel better again.
Right.
I also did want to bring up that the irony that Katie was like, I don't want James coming on this trip because I don't want there to be drama. And then she didn't even make it off the plane without starting drama because of the first class situation. Just, you're on vacation. Like, I know he got upgraded. Just, like, let it go. But it feels a little weird that she's like, I don't want there to be drama on this trip. And then all of a sudden, like, she's kind of the first root of it that we see. But in next week's episode, we also get the tease that, like, something goes down with Stassi and Bo.
Right.
I'm nervous to see what that is.
I know. Don't fight. So I sat down and talked to Sheena, and a lot of the conversation was actually about Adam. So that's still happening, and you need to hear from her point of view what's going on. Hey, everyone. We are here with Sheena Shea. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So have you finally convinced people to come to the West Side to your apartment?
Yes. And actually, on the episode, you see Katie agree to finally come to the West Side. I go, if I say the magic word, will you come? And she goes, is that word tequila? I said, it's actually enchiladas, but there will be tequila as well. So that's all I have to do is just cook for these girls and they come.
Yeah. How are you loving life, living on your own?
I've been living by myself for like 2.5 years, ever since I got divorced. It was at like end of 2016. But just getting out into a new city in LA was amazing. So I lived in Vegas for like half a year after Rob and I broke up. And that was just an amazing fresh start. And once that show was wrapping up and I was moving back to LA, I'm like, I can't go back to that apartment. And I was so spoiled in Vegas with hardwood floors and air conditioning and a washer and dryer. I was like, I'm going to need these amenities when I move back. So on one of my trips back when I was doing my podcast, my mom set up an appointment in Marina Del Rey. And we looked at 7 units at the building that I'm at. But the 7th one was the one. I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to live now.
Nice.
Yeah. And I already signed my lease to 2020. So yeah. I love it.
Oh, great.
Yes.
I want to know, what is your relationship status?
If we're on Facebook, I would say it's complicated.
Oh.
I know. I'm still single, but what you're seeing on the show currently is still the same situation.
So still Adam.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, he's number one. But I mean, I'm still like dating and whatnot, but yeah, so I just say it's complicated when guys ask.
Because we saw so much of your relationship last season, I have to know, do you still talk to Rob ever?
Well, funny story. So we didn't speak for almost a year. Ran into him at a, I'm not even going to look at my mom over there. She's probably going to roll her eyes and tell me to stop talking. I ran into him at a football game. We're both Chargers fans. It was so awkward. To make a long story short, we agreed to meet up and have like a closure conversation. Went well. We're like, okay, let's try and be friends again. And then a few weeks into that, he heard a rumor about me that I was like trying to like hook up with one of his friends. And it was this story that got so convoluted and was untrue completely. Didn't hear my side of the story. Starts like bashing me and my song on social media and like all of this. So now there is zero communication. So it was getting to a really good place. And then you hear one rumor and don't even give me the benefit of the doubt to hear my side of the story. So
that's terrible.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just over it. I was already over it. And then he came back in my life and I was like, okay, maybe. And then no.
Do you feel like you ever had the closure conversation with Shay?
I actually did this past summer.
Oh.
Yeah. He really wanted it to be private. And especially after him have been off the show for a while, he didn't want to film that conversation. But so I don't know if you'll hear me talk about it on any of the upcoming episodes. But we did. We sat down, I think it was like early August, and had that like the most raw, real conversation since season 5 reunion.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Are you guys able to be friends now, or is it too far gone?
No, we are. We don't talk like often, but I talked to him like the day before I left for Australia, and he's like, "Oh, I know you always wanted to go there. I'm so happy for you. Like, have so much fun. Like, let's try and get lunch when you get back." So we haven't actually seen each other again since that day, but we constantly like on like a monthly basis try and make plans, but then just with our schedules, it doesn't work. So we're in a good place where we are friendly, but not like BFF.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to know what your thoughts are on this whole Kristen Carter situation.
I don't like other people speaking on my relationship, so I just don't want to speak on hers. I know exactly what's going on. It's just not my story to tell.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stassi and Katie didn't have that stance when they came in a few days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been asked about it a lot. I was just in Australia and I did a bunch of interviews and stuff out there, and they had asked, and I'm like, it's just not my place. Like, I didn't like seeing interviews that they would do where they would say things about Rob. And I'm like, actually, that's not even the situation. It was this. So I don't want to say something that Kristen would then have to defend or make an excuse for.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
How are you with James right now?
We're good. I mean, we've always been good. I like to put him in his place when he needs to be put there. But he has never really done anything terrible to me, other than I think it was like beginning of season 5. Maybe he said I had a nose job. Like, other than that, like, that's like the worst thing I think he's ever like said about me. And he's someone who has always been a good friend to me, just a terrible person to other people. So, yeah, we're good. I absolutely love and adore his girlfriend, and we're good friends. But I don't condone any of his behavior or the things he says on social media and to women and all of that. I'll never support that. But as an individual, him and I are good.
Because it all went down at your place, what is the situation right now with Billie Lee and the rest of the group?
She really has only ever been close with Ariana and I, and it's kind of still the same. I wouldn't say I'm as close with her as I was, because she wasn't really a fan of me rekindling friendships with the girls and thought that I was just like trying to, you know, be a part of the group and just like be a follower. And I was like, no, I genuinely care about these girls. This is a friendship I've had for almost a decade. And as much as, you know, a year, 2 years ago, I was like, my life is so much better without them. Once I moved back from Vegas and all of that, I'm like, it's not better without them. Like, I miss them and I want them to be a part of my life. And if other people can't accept that, then maybe you shouldn't be a big part of mine.
Mm.
So we're still good. I mean, I still talk to her regularly. She's doing a big Sir Brunch party on St. Patrick's Day that she wants me to perform at. I might have to be in Vegas for a job, so I don't know if I'll be there, but we're good. I just, it's complicated.
Yeah. Well, for those Beverly Hills fans that are listening, you know, a lot is happening right now with Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, my God, I know.
So I just was wondering, did you see a change in her this season?
In Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
Not as far as, like, Vanderpump Rules or anything that we filmed goes. There were times where I would see her at Tom Tom and I could tell something was bothering her, but Lisa's our boss. She's our producer. As much as she can be a motherly figure and a friend when we need her, she's not one to like sit and gossip with me over tea about what's going on with her and the other housewives.
Right.
So I could tell things this past summer weren't maybe going super well for her, but she never confided anything in me or opened up. So I'm like, I'm finding this out every Tuesday night as everyone else is. And I had no idea all of that was going on. Like, you hear little things in tabloids and whatnot, but now seeing it all play out, I mean, it's intense. I feel for her.
So do you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, I'm obsessed with Beverly Hills Housewives.
Okay. Well, do you still watch only the parts you're in on Vanderpump Rules?
No, and let me clear that up. That was never what I said. Literally, the entire conversation was Andy asked about something about Stassi and Patrick's relationship. And I'm like, at the time when the show was airing, she's with Bo. I'm like, I don't care to watch this guy treat her like crap. So I would fast forward through those scenes. And then I think it was, I forget what else. Like maybe some of the James stuff. Like sometimes I'm like, I'll go back and rewatch that. But when he was like, oh, do you fast forward through other people's scenes? I was like, yes, I do. I also fast forward through pretty much all of mine because it was so hard to relive after having my heart broken. I didn't want to watch an old relationship. I was living in Vegas. I was doing a show every night. It was putting me in a bad headspace, reliving that past relationship when I wasn't even speaking to Rob and we weren't on good terms. So I fast forwarded through most of my own scenes, but the way it came off was, oh, she now fast forwards to only watch herself. And I'm like, no. That was a longer conversation where I said that's the main thing I fast forward through is myself.
Right. I mean, you know, it's all good. Jax doesn't watch the show at all.
At all. He never has. But like no one gives him any much a hard time. And for me, it's like, oh, I'm unprofessional and I'm this. I'm like, it was simply really hard to like relive my divorce, to relive a breakup and to see all of those things again. It wasn't anything that was putting me in a better place in my life. So I just chose to fast forward through most of it because I was cringeworthy last season.
Well, we heard you talking about acting earlier this season and how you had kind of gotten back with your agent. Mm-hmm. So what's happening on that front, if anything?
Yeah, so I was actually just in Nashville. The team who I re-signed with, their main office is out there. So I just went out there and met with them. They have a couple movies they're working on right now or they have some roles in mind for me. I just put myself on tape for a couple of parts. And as much as I really want to get back into a regular acting class, I've just been traveling so much that I haven't been able to. But just getting back into like auditioning on tape, that wasn't something 6 years ago when I was auditioning a lot that they really did. So that's been a little bit challenging for me. But my best friend, well, Adam and I, we've got a good like routine down where I'll put his on tape, he'll put mine on tape. And the last one we put on tape for him, he actually booked the lead in a film.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, you need to do all of your scenes with me because when you do the scenes with me, you actually book them. So
that's amazing. How often do you guys hang out, you and Adam?
Like 5 days a week.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So how do you date other people?
Well, there's two other days. No, I'm not one to really like go on dates. Like I have over the last couple months, like gone on quite a few dates, but I don't know. I always feel awkward on them because I'm really not looking for a relationship right now. So if I go on a date, it's just like, I just want to go to dinner and have a good time. Like this isn't going anywhere because I also am still, you know, it's complicated and that's where my feelings are, but that's also not going anywhere. So yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll take the free dinner and have some fun, but I'm not looking for a relationship with anyone right now.
If you were, though, what do you think you'd be looking for?
The opposite of what I've dated before. Yeah, just someone who is, and not saying shit, I'm talking about Rob, someone who's not selfish and doesn't only care about themselves. And that was one of the things with like him and I not talking anymore. I'm like, you again are just like doing what's best for you. Like you didn't even reach out to hear my side of the story. He was checking on me the whole like week and a half. I was going through all the hormones and shots for freezing my eggs. And then come day of the retrieval, I don't hear from him. And I'm like, you didn't even think like maybe I should check on her and put my feelings aside. Even though you heard this story, you don't know if it's true, but like to not even be able to put that aside to check in on me after a surgery. I'm just like, this is why this never would work out.
Why did you decide now was the time to freeze your eggs?
I finally had time to myself. I thought about it towards the end of 2016, like a couple months before we got divorced, when I had no idea it was even going in a divorce direction. And I think it was just the cost of it and whatnot at the time. It just wasn't the right time. And I was going to freeze embryos, which thankfully I didn't do. And I was like, yeah, we'll put it off a few months. And then we got divorced. Then I got right into another relationship, thought that was going somewhere. And then we broke up. I moved to Vegas a few weeks after that. And then I come back. We're filming season 7. And it was just like I didn't really have any time. And then October, I was traveling. I went to Iceland and just went to some places I had never been before. So then come November, I was like, okay, I finally have some time to myself where I'm in town. I don't have anything going on. If I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So I just woke up one day and did it.
How was it?
For me, like I've gotten so much crap for this because I said it was an easy, painless experience. And I'm like, but I want women to know that it doesn't have to be hard. Like, I mean, the hormones, I've been on birth control for a very long time. So the hormones didn't really affect me as much. I have 22 something tattoos, so the needles didn't bother me. I love getting Botox. So, like, for those things, I'm like, those are some of the things that women find the hardest were the side effects from the hormones, but they didn't affect me. And giving yourself the shots, that was actually fun for me. Like, I loved, like, seeing people's, like, reactions when I'm like, do you want to give me the shot? And they're like, no, 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 needles. Like, oh, my God. And it was like, they just don't bother me. So, for me, it was a very easy experience, and I wanted to share that so women know it doesn't have to be hard. Places like SCRC have amazing financing plans. It is affordable if it's something you want to do. And at my age, being single, not looking for a relationship, I just thought this is something smart to do because I'm not getting any younger. My AMH levels were basically non-existent for my age, and it was highly recommended from my doctor, and I'm actually going to do another round this summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, for sure.
What can you tell us for the rest of the season of Vanderpump?
Wow. Well, you'll still see Mexico. That was actually, I think we had the best group we've ever had on a trip. Like, we finally figured it out. And it was, I think, my favorite trip we've ever taken. Other than solving, that was my favorite girls trip we've ever had. But Mexico, it was gorgeous in Puerto Vallarta. The hotel we stayed at was amazing. We did so many fun things. So that'll be really exciting to see back. And then as you saw in the mid-season trailer, there's a big blow-up fight with Adam and I at the end. So looking forward to that.
Will you fast forward through it?
maybe. I might have my mom watch it first and give me the Cliff's Notes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this thank you. Great. Awesome.
Real Housewives of New York City.
I have to start with an important question.
Okay, I'm ready.
Who on the cast of The Real Housewives of New York City do you classify as f***able?
Okay, because we're worried about, because they are called Barbara, not f***able.
Well, so at the Paper Mag party, that's when Sonia said Barbara was f***able.
Okay.
She said Bethany was f***able. Tinsley, not f***able.
Oh, Tinsley.
You have a f***able look. That's better than Tinsley's, like, got mad at me because I said, she's not f***able. You dust her off and put her back on the shelf. She got mad.
See, okay. I would say out of everyone in the cast, yeah, where's the photo so I can consult it?
Oh, it's over
it.
There.
It's over here. Okay, so Sonia, obviously, f***able. I mean, listen to her tagline. I mean, it's all about having sex, really.
Right.
Obviously, Sonia, I mean, Ramona is still a very sexual person. I think she's fuckable. She's gorgeous. I mean, she looked so good in that dress at the Paper Mag party.
Luann?
Luann is, I think she's fuckable. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I understand what Sonia was trying to say about Tinsley. Is Tinsley is so much more caught up in the, like, I want a ring, I want a husband, like, I want to be in a relationship. She's so focused, I think, on that part of being with someone that she doesn't come across as someone who is, like, very sexual. You know, and it's kind of, I think it's her upbringing. Like, it's sort of just, like, that's who Tinsley is. But I would like to see a little bit more of that. And we did get a little hint of Tinsley's perhaps fuckability when she was at the clam bake and she referenced, like, well, I might be blonde, but, like, down there I'm dark or whatever. And Bethany was even like, oh my God, she's referencing, you know, her vagina. Okay, great. Like, cool, you know? So maybe Tinsley is coming around to be more fuckable.
All right.
And going back to Barbara being fuckable, we get...
I don't know why it makes me laugh.
We get a little hint at her being bisexual in this episode. Not a little hint. We get Sonia basically saying it. Like, she
right.
knows that she's been with women before.
Right. So, we just haven't heard it from Barbara.
Right. And I was starting to think back of, like, what we've learned about Barbara so far this season. And I think in either the first or second episode, she goes to visit. She's with Luann and Bethany. And she talks about the last time she had sex was with a painter. But she doesn't say if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah. Don't be sexist and assume it's a male
painter. I mean,
painter.
I think I had assumed that. But now I'm sort of like, oh, when I'm thinking back, I'm like, I'm excited to learn more about Barbara and her
ladies
sexual
like to
history.
Paint, too.
So at the Paper Mag party, we get this conversation between Dorinda and Luann.
Well, I miss seeing you. I want to talk with you outside of the thing.
I know. Well, we'll talk another time.
Yeah, it's all about Sonia.
What did you think about that?
Well, so you were right, because I think in last week's episode, you predicted correctly that Luann would be like, not here. I'm not mm-hmm. doing this here. And, like, so really nothing happened.
Yeah. But didn't it seem to you like Dorinda was like way more nervous than I think I expected her to be.
Oh yeah. Because I feel like
Dorinda talks a big talk.
Ugh, and she's, you're so right.
You know
she
what I
does.
Mean? Like she comes across as this tough girl when she was on the phone with Barbara talking about the clam bake and like who was invited or whatever. She's very aggressive, you know, kind of yelling into the phone. Bethany was like hiding behind a pillow. And then all of a sudden when the actual sort of confrontation happens, like Dorinda was like, oh my God, I love your hat. Oh, look at, oh, this is great. And she totally kind of has this very different attitude towards Luann.
Right.
And Luann even, I think, felt a little bit uncomfortable, too. Like, it's I don't like that tension between the two of them because they are such good friends.
Well, do you think, because, I mean, we've all had disagreements with friends. Do you think you're the person who gets tense or that causes the tension?
I think I get tense. I don't think I cause the tension. I think. I don't have a lot of confrontations, though. Like this, I live vicariously through these women with their confrontations. I wanted to ask you about the gangster lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's interpretation of gangster.
I don't know. Why did it make me uncomfortable?
I'll tell you why it made you uncomfortable. Because everyone got it right. Well, obviously not Luann. She just dressed like herself. Barbara and Bethany got that right. Dorinda's interpretation of gangster was a little bit problematic. And I feel like I know what Dorinda was trying to do, but she really missed the whole, like, we're going to be in Little Italy, right, dressed like a gangster. Like, everyone's supposed to come, like, if you're wearing, you know, rocking, like, a Tommy gun or something, like, mafia style. But Dorinda, you know.
She just looks like, I don't know, millennial.
She made her hair pink? Like, yeah. What? What
she's
is
like,
that
well,
about?
Gangster. Like, no, those two things don't add up.
That did not really work out. But at the end of the day, that lunch, I think, went as well as to be expected, you know?
It killed me when Bethany was like, don't you think the pink hair is fun? And Luann looks at her, takes a beat, and goes, oh, with the lipstick.
You dress gangster, I got it. So is the pink hair for the gangster lunch?
Yes,
or is that,
oh, I just did.
Wow, you went all out.
Doesn't it look good, though?
With the pink lipstick?
Like, no.
Yeah, she's like, that was a choice.
I'm like, yes. So good.
I could not stop laughing when Bethany reacted to the two of them talking about Luann's circular home.
Oh,
and how Dorinda's like, yeah, of course, because the devil can't get you in the corner. And then, you know, Luann's like, right, when you think about it, like animals, everyone lives in round homes or whatever. Bethany's like, these two are fucking whack jobs. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. Like, Bethany acquires a lot of real estate. So, like, it's not something that's, like, new to her.
The devil doesn't factor into her real estate purchases.
Yeah, when I look for real estate, I don't consider, like, if the devil's coming over, is what she says. I really did have to sit there and rewind it again and listen to her react because I thought it was so funny.
These two bitches are whack jobs. I don't know what the f*** they're even talking about. When I look for a real estate, I don't like consider if the devil's coming over.
At the end of the dinner, they do kind of come to a resolution. They sort of like have a truce. They're like, let's just kind of move past this. Then neither one of them really admits that they were wrong. You know, Dorinda's kind of still being stubborn. She kind of just like says, well, I still care about you. I love you. You know, she doesn't really say, like, sorry for heckling, sorry for this, sorry for what I did and going to the press. You know, she doesn't really apologize for anything, which is interesting, but it seems like they both just want to move past whatever issue they have.
Right. Well, what did you think about the whole conversation between Barbara and Dorinda at Dorinda's house?
That got really intense, like, really quickly, I think, because it's, you know, for Barbara to come over, I guess, into Dorinda's own home and then sort of bring up that conversation about Luann and sort of she wasn't really letting it die. And I think Dorinda was ready to, like, kind of move on. But it's interesting that she was talking about this, like, Kool-Aid, like you're drinking the Luann Kool-Aid.
Oh, it made me so mad. I felt like Dorinda was just getting really defensive.
Barbara, like, you got it. She... I'm telling you, you got to be careful because you can ask the other girls. You're starting to look like you drank the Kool-Aid. People are
no,
like,
I'm just drinking champagne.
No.
Now, to be fair, I feel like Barbara put her on the defensive by coming in and sort of insulting her home.
Okay. I mean, these floors are atrocious.
What about these lights?
Well, I'm not doing all that, because that's not for rental.
Do you want to redo the counter?
No, not for rental.
Okay.
I would want to take this off, you know, just reface it, maybe.
Reface all the cabinets?
Yeah, what do you think?
To me, I would never reface these. I would just rip out the whole kitchen.
Yeah. Which I know Dorinda needed her professional opinion, but you can soften it a little.
Right, right.
But to be like, oh, this is shitty, that's shitty.
Yeah,
like,
these floors are horrible.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
So then, of course, she's going to be a little bit prickly at anything Barbara says. But, yeah, she just isn't taking any ownership, and it really upsets me.
Right. And I think that it's important for Dorinda to maybe just take a step back and try to just see it from somebody else's perspective. You know, she's like, really, she's totally convinced. She was like, I was not heckling. Like, I did not do this. I didn't do that. And it's sort of like, at a certain point, the way your behavior is interpreted by others is almost more important than the way you think you behaved. And you kind of have to, at this point, just kind of admit, even if it's you don't think you're wrong, just say you're sorry so you can just move on. Because I still think that, like, Luann's going to remember and hold that against Dorinda in the long run. Megan, we have a lot of things in common. We love The Housewives. We live in New York City. We also both have really good hair.
That's true. Good hair, though, doesn't come without maintenance. You know, not everyone knows this, but I used to be a beauty editor before I found my true calling at Bravo. So I'm pretty picky when it comes to beauty products, specifically hair products. And I am into Function of Beauty. Their shampoos and conditioners are customizable to meet your specific hair needs and goals. While most brands only address single concerns like volume or frizz or shine, Function of Beauty formulates every bottle for you based on your hair type and hair preference. So you can select what color you want your shampoo and conditioner. I chose teal to go with my bathroom color palette. Fragrance, I went with eucalyptus because I like a nice clean smell. And up to 5 hair goals. You can also choose dye-free and fragrance-free options if that's what you prefer. This means a lot to me. It's 100% vegan and cruelty-free, so no testing on animals. So I got the shampoo and conditioner specifically formulated for color-treated and wavy hair, and I've honestly been super happy with the results. And I think my hair looks pretty damn good. Right, Eric?
I agree.
It was so customizable, they even printed my name on the bottle. Function of Beauty is also a lot more affordable than other brands. It costs 40% less per ounce than salon-leading shampoos and conditioners. And now, you guys can get 20% off your first custom formula. All you have to do is head to functionofbeauty.com and take a 2-minute quick hair profile quiz to design your unique shampoo and conditioner formulas. Use code DISH at checkout for 20% off your first order at functionofbeauty.com. That's DISH at functionofbeauty.com.
I also really need the full life story of Lori, Dorinda's real estate broker.
Oh, yes. I need any sort of tidbit about the woman that made out with Sonia at the Paper Mag party.
Well, do you know what's funny about that is in preview clips, I really thought it was Victoria de Lesseps. I thought it was Luann's daughter.
It looked like her, for sure.
And then finally, like, when we got the footage and we saw the actual makeout happen, I was like, okay, that's not her. It's just someone who looks like her.
Oh, my God. What a turn of events that would be if it was Victoria that started dating Sonia.
Can you imagine?
Yes, and I love it.
I did really appreciate that moment, too, because it's so Sonia to just, like, be making out with a woman randomly at a party, like, right at the end when, like, everyone's leaving.
But, like, and she doesn't even know her.
No, no. I mean, Tinsley's reaction is like, what? And like, Bethany's and like, oh, my God, like, what's happening? What's
going
look,
on? Don't look. Don't look.
Listen, it's not a party until somebody makes out.
That's true. Eric, do you know what winter, spring, summer, and fall all have in common?
Well, they're all seasons.
No, that's when we get our FabFitFun boxes. You guys, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year with beauty, fashion, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box.
Yes, and each box contains full-size products that are easily worth over $200. You can even customize your box and choose your products, or you can be surprised with each one.
Since Eric and I are practically twins, we both received a Sip by Swell water bottle in our spring box, which we're absolutely obsessed with.
I'm constantly sipping on it through the podcast recordings, and I'm even sipping on it right now.
This honestly is a great way to discover new brands and products that may become your new obsessions.
It's definitely a better way to shop.
Sign up for FabFitFun today. Make sure to use our code DISH to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and be sure to use our promo code DISH for $10 off your first box.
That's over $200 worth of products for only $39.99.
Just be sure to use our code DISH. That's D-I-S-H to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box today.
We sat down with Luann de Lesseps, the cabaret superstar, and talked a little bit about her show. We talked about exactly where she and Dorinda are today and how this season sort of set up in terms of where their relationship was. So here's that interview. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Luann de Lesseps. Hi, Luann.
Hi, doll. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So Countess and Friends has truly taken off in the past year.
Yes.
Did you ever believe you'd be in this position now?
No. I mean, I decided to do a cabaret show and I just had no idea it would take off the way it has. And it's just been amazing.
What do you think has lended to the show's success? What do you think is the magic there?
You know, I think that I'm very candid about my life. And I talk about that during the show. It's not been an easy time for me. So I kind of self-deprecate about that and to make try to joke about it the best I can, while also being, you know, humbled by the fact that, you know, it's been rough. And you know, and I get to sing what I love to sing and I get to host my friends, which are my fans. And I love each and every one of them for coming to support me. I have amazing guests on the show. You know, from Laura Benanti to Rachel Dratch to oh my God, from NSYNC,
Lance Bass. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I have, like, you know, I've had Lance Bass, who's done the Borgata with me in Atlantic City. So, you know, I have amazing talent, and I'm grateful.
Do you prefer performing here in the city or do you like touring? Which one?
You know what? I started at 54 Below. It's like my living room. It's like you come and sit in my salon and I entertain you for about an hour and a half. And then, you know, I was kind of afraid of playing bigger venues in terms of not having it be as intimate. But now that I've played bigger venues to the number of 1,800 so far, and that's growing. Chicago Theater is going to be 3,500 people.
That's incredible.
So, and you know, I'm doing LA, I'm doing Vegas. And so I like the bigger audiences now because it's just all that much more love and it feels really good.
What has the fan response been like?
It's been incredible. I mean, people have been so supportive of me. But I think, you know, what happens is it's word of mouth. You know, I deliver, you know, I do a real cabaret show. It's not a housewives thing. It's my real passion in terms of singing and, telling jokes and entertaining my guests. You know, I'm a professional at it because I love it and I do what I love. And so it just works out.
So you recorded Money Can't Buy You Class back in 2010.
Yes.
Do you have any plans to release any more singles?
I do.
Oh.
I have a new single coming out this spring.
Could you tell us any more about that?
Well, I want to release it, as you know, probably in June, just before the summer. So I can't tell you more about it, except that it's another dance song and you're going to love it. You're going to be on your feet dancing.
I was going to say, if it's before the summer, it's going to be like the summer bop.
Yeah. You know, I want to have it ready for Gay Pride. I want to do a music video this time around. I didn't do one for the Girl Code. And I feel like this time around, I want to have a music video to go along with it. So it's taken me a little bit longer to release it. But when I release it, you will hear all about it.
And then you'll be able to incorporate it into the show.
Well, yeah, that too.
That's great.
That too. Yeah.
So in addition to the cabaret, you've also become a jewelry designer this year.
Yes.
So tell us more about your collection.
Well, the Countess collection started with Super Jeweler, who actually sent me some necklaces to wear. And I love them. And I started wearing them in my cabaret show. And the fans love them. So it was like a perfect, you know, a perfect match in terms of me working on a collection. Everybody knows me for my statement necklaces. So I decided to do a collection with Super Jeweler, and they're a great partner. The collection is, you know, there's crystals, there's mixed metals, different colored stones. I work very closely with them to create a collection that's cabaret for every day.
You're wearing one of them in your interview looks,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Amazing.
I wear them on the show. I wear them in my cabaret show. I wear them on The Housewives. So, yeah, and again, it's countessluan.com. I have the collection there, and very proud of it because it's affordable. You know, everything's priced really, really well, but it feels expensive. So I love it. I love when people get the piece and they love it. And it makes me happy to see the women really loving the collection.
Did you get any other ladies this season to
Ramona's wearing a piece today.
Is she? Oh, great.
Yeah, she just did the Today Show with my diamond. I have a faux diamond crystal single strand necklace she was like begging me for this morning. So that's sweet. She promotes, you know, my collection and I promote her ageless skincare because girls support girls.
It's true.
Girl code.
Got to support other women.
Girl code.
So cabaret star, jewelry designer, what's next?
You know, I for the moment, I'm just, that's enough. I'm like focused on that. And the music, of course, coming up with, you know, my new dance single that's coming out and just working to keep the cabaret fresh. So it's, you know, it just feels, you know, fresh every time you come and see the show because I have a lot of fans that come show after show. You know, I have different guests, so the show feels different every time you come.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you and Sonia recently kind of made history at New York Fashion Week, being the first females to walk in that show.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Yeah, the Blue Jacket show. It was for prostate cancer. So, you know, the Blue Jacket show for prostate cancer is a great event. And I was, you know, thrilled when they asked me to walk the first time to have women in the show with Sonia. It was amazing. It was a great experience. I haven't been on the runway in a while, so that was fun. And I wore Anna Fontaine collection, which was beautiful. And so it was a lot of fun to meet with all those fabulous men who are gorgeous.
Well, it looked fantastic.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the house you bought upstate and that it's kind of unique in that it's circular.
Yes.
So was that something that drew you into the house?
You know, when I saw it, I was like, it's so unique. I never forgot about it. It was one of the first homes that I saw up there when I started looking. And you know, it's very special. It's like a bird's nest. And it's very private, and that's what I love about it. You know, Hamptons is kind of become a place where people want to go and be seen. You know, upstate is more laid back and low key and much more private for me. So it's kind of like my little hideaway bird's nest. You know, think about it. You know, animals live in trees that are round. Igloos were, you know, made for Eskimos, and Indians lived in teepees. So historically, you know, being in something that's round is great feng shui and is supposed to be very healthy for you.
And there's some kind of like superstitions
energy
around that too, aren't there? Like the devil will never get you or something.
That's
like that.
Right.
That?
Yeah, there is. You know, Dorinda could tell you about that. She's right. Miss Superstitious. Miss Superstition.
Well, speaking of
something
Dorinda.
Riding on the wall. Sorry.
Will we get to see any of the cabaret this season? Are there any episodes?
You will. You're going to see part of my Christmas show.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you, we saw a little bit of what went down in the Berkshires on Bethany's Instagram story, like in real time.
Right.
The, you know, naked chef and all of that. So can you talk a little bit about that night? Because it looked fairly epic.
Yeah, it was pretty epic. there was a lot going on between the naked chef and the party in the billiard room next door where everybody all let loose. And there was a dance party. There was a strip party. There was the naked chef. There was a lot going on in the Berkshires. So that's going to be a fun episode.
Oh, my God. Can't wait for
that. Yeah.
So also, we have some trips coming up this season. Can you tease a little bit about what we'll see on those?
Well, you know, we go on a big trip to Miami. I think everybody knows that, right? That's no mm-hmm. secret. And it's pretty insane. We have an insane house, which is amazing. And we have a party at the house. You're going to see a lot of hot guys. And because we're all kind of single and ready to mingle. And you'll see Mario kind of pop his head in there. And you know, there's a lot of drama. I think you see Sonia who like face plants. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, between the drinking and me staying sober and the craziness of us being together in one house that's gigantic, it's pretty incredible.
Can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with Barbara? Because she's a new face this season, but also a familiar face because we have met her before.
Yes. So, yeah, Barbara's been on the show before. She's a good friend of mine. She's a friend to most of the housewives. She's great. She's a DIY girl, do-it-yourself builder in New York, and just an incredible person, a great friend. We met years ago in the Hamptons. Our sons were going to summer camp together, so that's how we met. And she's just been a really good friend. She's been there for me in a lot of ways, especially with my sobriety, and helping me figure out a lot of things in my life. So she's a great friend. She's very involved in the season, so you're going to see a lot of her.
One of my favorite things that I saw so far was that she has that toolkit
yes.
always on hand in case yeah. she needs to give a gift and
yes.
she forgets a housewarming thing or yeah, whatever. Do you have a toolkit?
I don't have a toolkit, but I have pie.
Well, that's better. That's much
and
better.
And jewelry. Don't forget jewelry.
Well, thank you so much, Luann. I appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
We're very excited about the season.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lou.
Poor Eva is how I feel about the Real Housewives of Atlanta this week.
I know. This was a really intense episode only because, you know, Eva really kind of got dragged through the mud by a lot of people.
I mean, first of all, the fact that she's still on like a high of getting married and then going on this amazing honeymoon and then to come back and find out that one of her bridesmaids is going to the other ladies to say that she has financial issues.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that they're having a problem with where they're living, that they're renting. I'm hearing that they have to get out ASAP.
Ouch, Marlo, ouch.
I'm telling you, the streets are saying her car has a CPN number, a CPA number.
What
something.
That is?
I don't know, some crooked way to get a car. The streets are saying that all her bridesmaids are pissed at her and she turned them all against her.
Oh, God, Marlo, you and this ponytail, I can't.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, too, because I think they kind of basically pin it on Shaunita, who we've seen a little bit so far this season. And, you know, Eva kind of talks about there was this, like, falling out. I feel like you and I have had a lot of conversations in the past about this happening with weddings. And people being involved, like, it's oftentimes can really pull friendships apart.
Yes.
And I think we've seen that.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
seen that firsthand with uh-huh. some of my friends.
Yep.
And it's just so crazy to think, like, what is the cause of that? Like, what is the root of that problem? Like, what does Shaunita have against Eva? Is it jealousy? Is it resentment? Like, what causes it?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think there is an element of resentment when you're in someone's wedding, right? Because, like, you are spending a lot of money and you are putting forth a lot of effort and time. So then maybe if you're not feeling totally appreciated, that can sort of trigger those feelings. But Shaunita's taking it to a whole other level. But also, are we sure it's her? Because didn't they use, like, a voice modulator
right.
to disguise her voice? That was weird.
Right. So I don't know, because obviously this person reached out to Marlo directly, which I think was a very strategic move.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that Marlo was going to put that information exactly where it needed to be, and that was in Nene's hands. Not so much Tanya's hands, but Nene's hands. And yes, they use the voice modulator, so we can't recognize who it is. But we do learn from Eva, I think she talks about it with Candy, about how Shaunita choked out the wedding planner.
Right.
So obviously, if there are multiple bridesmaids who are having issue with Eva, then like something really went wrong with this wedding. And we did see Eva going through a lot. You know, she had so many dresses. There was so much coordination. They were way over budget. So like, maybe Eva did take out some of her frustration on her bridesmaids. We didn't totally see that. We saw her more like breaking down and kind of internalizing it all. But obviously, Shaunita and maybe somebody else is not pleased with this whole situation. So do you think all of these rumors that come out, like, where do we stand? Like, who do we believe? I mean, I believe Eva.
Of course. I mean, I think you have to. But, like, it was, like, she's really good at hiding her emotions. Because at first, when Tanya's telling her this news, she has literally no reaction. She's just like, oh, that's so weird. That's crazy. And then it's, like, storming off, pulling off the mic.
I'm gone. I'm calling Mike. Here you go. No. I'm gone.
I'm so sorry.
And then coming back and calmly talking about, like, she just went through a whole array of emotions.
Yeah, that was a lot. I mean, I didn't expect her to walk out in that moment. I knew we were going to see her leave the party, but I thought there was going to be a bigger moment that would cause her exit. And it was sort of just like she came back in from the conversation with Tanya. She saw Nene and greeted Nene, like, very nicely, and then stormed out, took off the mic and whatever, and left and called Mike. And then I guess he came. And I did think it was, like, a little bit shady that Nene kept the mic on, because Eva specifically asked her not to, and not to bring cameras.
She told me that she didn't want me to have on a mic. Eva's gonna kill me.
However, I'm very grateful that we had that side of the conversation, because that gives us a lot more perspective into Eva's story. And Mike was straight up being like, I thought it was a producer talking at first, but it ended up being Mike saying, like, this is all arranged for security reasons. Like, we are trying to protect ourselves and Eva's daughter Marley. So
I just couldn't believe that after Eva is explaining all of this, which, by the way, does explain a lot of what we're seeing, that Marlo would still be like, she's lying.
Nobody, she's lying.
And you know she is.
That's my business.
Right, and in front of her too, she's like sitting at the table being like, she's lying. And Candy's
so
like,
crazy.
It's sort of like, I don't know what Marlo still has maybe against Eva, because even after she says that to Candy, she still then is sort of like, oh, well, we believe you. You know, she kind of backtracks a little bit, and then maybe it's because they're in the moment and, like, they don't want Eva to storm off again. But everything seems to add up exactly how Eva's telling it. Like, I need to have different addresses. Like, I need to rent places or whatever. But it does bring up the point that, like, oh, where's all this money coming from? I mean, they just spent over $120,000 on this wedding, and now they're trying to move and all this stuff. But, you know, that's Eva's business. So there's only so much we can say or do about that. Also, I am so excited that next week on the finale, we are getting Kenya. I'm just like, I had a feeling this wasn't going to be the end of Kenya. Like, I felt her presence was still somehow there all season. I mean, I follow her on Instagram, obviously, so I've been keeping up with her and, you know, her new baby and everything that she's been going through. But, like, there is going to be some shit hitting the fan next week, because she's going to show up, and obviously that causes a huge issue between Cynthia and Nene. And that's what we kind of talked about last week. Like, we're going to see it all really unfold.
Oh, I'm so excited. All right, should we do Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose this week?
My rose this week was from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it was Denise Richards' overall attitude about this wedding. Like, she was so chill, laid back, just like, first of all, like, an hour and a half late to her own wedding, whatever, but it was so... She wasn't freaking out. She was the opposite of a bridezilla, just kind of letting it all happen the way it needed to. She knew it was, like, planned very last minute. She had very low expectations and was like, let's just see what happens. And plus, I thought her dress was really amazing. That whole, like, romper look or whatever. Like, I thought that was a really cool, like, Malibu outdoorsy kind of wedding. Especially, like she said, it's her second wedding. So
right.
I loved it. What was your rose?
Well, it's not a rose as much as a question, which is, I want to know what song she actually walked down the aisle to.
Interesting. Yes. Because there had to have been some kind of, like...
It was probably something like what I was envisioning was like Guns N' Roses,
yep,
or something.
I was going, like, to say AC/DC.
The way Camille was reacting, like, she was into it.
Right. I wonder if there's any way we can find that out. There's got to be a way.
I'll email Denise.
Yeah. I think you should just, like, ask around or whatever. But yeah, I'm so curious, because we know that there are, like, you know, issues with using rights to music and whatever. So I think we got a very generic version.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was from Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, God. I didn't know. I saw that you wrote this down. I didn't know what it was, but just now it clicked to my mind. See, and I'm vomiting.
That is the reaction I had. So it was, I've never heard this term before, but apparently it's a thing. And Jax said it in the episode. And he was referring to having sex as feeding the hog.
I don't think that's a saying.
I don't think so either. I think that's another one of those Jaxisms that he's like confused in his head. And he just is convinced that that's a thing people say. Unless he picked it up in like Kentucky or something. I don't know. But like he
Kentucky's
said
Kentucky's like, don't put that on us.
Yeah, they're like, we didn't do that. Okay.
Yeah, right here. Our room is amazing. I mean, there's multiple places in here that, well, you can feed the hog.
What does feeding the hog mean?
It's code for banging.
But I don't know. As soon as he said it, I was just like, that is the most like grotesque way to refer to making love. Okay, Jack. Which is another grotesque way of saying having sex. Okay. Let's just say having sex. We all know what it is. Okay. What was your thorn?
Okay. My thorn was also from Vanderpump Rules. It was Lala talking about flying commercial to Mexico and being like, you know, when I fly with Rand, like, I don't have to worry about anything except just getting myself on the plane because we have assistants who take care of the rest.
I don't even remember the last time that I flew commercial. We fly with assistants usually. They carry my bag. They have my passport. I'm just responsible for this right here.
And she just said it in such a way that's like, Lala, those aren't your assistants. Those are your fiancés.
And it's also like, okay, how long have you been with Rand? Because there was a time before him that you did have to travel on your own and you had to find your own passport. And
so
you had
don't
to
act
like,
oh, I don't even remember what
right.
this is like.
It's not like she grew up in this like very sheltered life, like privileged life where it was like she had never done anything for herself. So it was just a little bit bratty. Ugh, I don't know. Next week, we're going to be talking to DJ James Kennedy and Real Housewives of New York City's Tinsley Mortimer.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
It's game time, everybody.
Eric, did you see the new Watch What Happens Live game in the My Vegas app?
Yes, and it's super cute. You'll feel like you're in the Bravo clubhouse while Andy and Waka root you on as you play fun social slot games.
And as you earn more points, the bartender will serve up rounds of bonus games like Plead the Fifth and Word of the Day.
Download My Vegas and play the Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen game.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys.